Hey guys, you're listening to Drunk and Uncultured.
We are a drinking problem masquerading as a pop culture podcast.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Stephanie.
And they're definitely like doing something outside of our apartment.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing. Maybe the backside of your apartment will be on Chicago Fire or Chicago PD or whatever the hell that was.
It was Chicago Fire, last time at least. And you could see our patio.
That reminds me of that video that was circulating on TikTok where the car is falling off the building, and people thought that was a real thing.
They were like, only in Chicago.
And I was like, guys, that's a TV set.
You can see the crane.
That's a TV set.
Yeah. They're definitely doing something, because there's like a big bus outside, and there's a
bunch of guys. We thought it was a party bus.
I would have thought so too, but
it looks like a party bus. It's got lights on it.
It looks like it, but there's a bunch of people in yellow vests. So I assume
that
it's
seems
not.
Like not a party bus.
But if you can hear,
it could be a party bus.
If you can hear it in the background,
how funny would that be?
If it was a party bus,
bus, and the theme is they just like pull up places and look like they're scouting.
That would be kind of funny.
That's too deep. I've gone too far.
Anyways, we're back.
All right, so we're a little flip flopped. I'm going to run through my top five albums that came out in March real quick, and then we will
do the beer
and do the episode.
Yes.
Okay. So March 1st, we've got Mountain Head by Everything Everything. Everything Everything is kind of like an art, pop, rock, whatever you want to call a band from Manchester.
I thought we established that art pop is called chamber pop.
No, this is not this. These are not art pop and chamber pop are two different things.
Okay.
Chamber pop is art pop, but not all art pop is chamber pop. I almost said changer pop. Chamber pot.
Okay.
Like the thing.
Like
you play
like how rectangles aren't or squares aren't rectangles, but rectangles are squares.
Correct.
No. Rectangles aren't.
I got you. But everything's been making music forever. They're great. This is their
seventh
album? Trying to do math. Sorry.
Trying to count.
Counting is not my strong suit. I think this is their seventh album. It's very good. It's a little bit more, I called it more cinematic of an experience when you're listening to it. It's a much fuller sounding record than some of their early stuff. I very much liked it. The memes to get you to buy the record were hilarious.
Yes,
they were so funny, and I purchased the record because the memes alone got me. I gave this a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
Next one also came out March 1st. It is the new album from the indie singer Faye Webster from Atlanta. This is her fifth album?
You can count. You have fingers.
I know, but I'm like, I'm trying to, like, count downward, and it's not working. This is her fifth album.
Can you say that again while you're not laughing?
This is her fifth album.
This is her fifth album. That's what it says.
This is her fifth album.
It's like when I say uncultured and I sound drunk. I've had two sips
of beer.
I know.
I didn't even drink at work today. This is her fifth album called Underdressed at the Symphony. She has, like, a very smooth and dreamy voice. This album, I think, has a little bit more, like, I called it piercing instrumentation. She played at Coachella last weekend and had a bunch of Minion-themed shit, which
love
I think
that.
Is hilarious.
Didn't she play in front of, like, the blue t-shirt?
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was very good. New album's great. I gave it a 9.5.
Nice.
She will be playing at Lollapalooza, and I am very excited to see her. The next one came out on March 15th. It is the new, I guess it's technically the first solo record from Dan Bechner from Wolf Parade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just called Bechner. He's done a ton of stuff collaborating with other people, but this is actually his first solo album, which is crazy to think about. Very good. It sounds like it could be a Wolf Parade album because he is the guy from Wolf Parade.
He is the Wolf Parade.
So, it's cool to hear him do his own stuff, and still you hear his, like, very, like, classic sound that you expect to hear. Because sometimes people do their own solo stuff, and it's weird, and you're just like, I don't know if I like this. No, this sounds like it could just be B-sides for a Wolf Parade album.
Nice.
Which I love. I gave it a 9.5. The next one also came out March 15th. It is the new album from the Australian psych rock band called Beans.
I fucking love Beans.
The album is called Boots and Cats.
I fucking love Beans. They're so funny.
They're so weird. It's such a good
Isn't
record.
Isn't it like Beans with like a bunch of S's or something like that?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
This album, they just wrote Beans.
Okay. Because it's like, it's been Beans with like a bunch of S's. Yeah.
They have kind of this, I almost compare it to like an R&B type groove to their psych sound. Yeah. Where a lot of the psych we listen to is very punk heavy.
Yeah.
Then there's also, like, the very traditional, like, shoegazy almost psych. This is some of the, that's, like, the groove that they get into with it, I think, is very interesting, and it pairs very well with the psychedelic rock sound.
Yeah, Beans is a fun band.
And I think that makes them stand out a lot compared to the other bands.
All right, Boots and Cats by Beans gets a 9. The last one I want to talk about, it came out 322. It is Tiger's Blood from Waxahachie. This album is very deep and emotional, but lyrically, but musically, it sounds a little more upbeat. She collaborated pretty hard with MJ Lenderman, who the Youths are really coming on to right now, and he is a member of the band Wednesday. So he's been doing a lot in the indie scene lately.
Yeah.
So very good album. I gave it a 9.
Nice. That's 5?
That is 5.
Okay.
I had to think about that for a second. That is 5.
All right. And Steph, what are we drinking?
You actually brought this one. So we are drinking a beer called Farmer's Dream from Seeds in Michigan.
Yeah. I don't think it's technically New Buffalo. Is it? Okay. Union Pier. It's just right next to New Buffalo. Matt and I always make an effort to go to this brewery when we go to New Buffalo. It's really fun. They're... Most of their beers on tap are, like, the slow pour, traditional, like, European style, so they don't can those.
Yeah, the photos always look very fun.
Yeah.
Their beers with the slow pour.
Yeah, so you can't obviously can those. So I got what we could, and this is...
This is a pale ale. Yes, I already said the name. Farmer's Dream.
Yep, you did. But we love Seeds. They have a really good dark check lager that I always get. It's called Tamave Seeds. It's so good.
That's one you always post,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's one I always post. It's so good. It's a really good dark check. All right.
I'm going to try this.
I already drank a bunch of it.
Ooh, hoppy, not bitter.
No, it's very...
Low ABV.
Is it?
We love 4.3.
Oh. It's very, like, I don't know, traditional American pale ale.
It doesn't have the bitterness, though,
no.
Which is really interesting. I like that a lot. It's almost more, like, herbal than bitter.
It's like...
But it's still that
citrusy,
very dry.
It's citrusy, it's dry, it's like hoppy. It's got a lot of like fruit flavor.
Yeah, it's very citrusy. Wow, this is really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it.
Seeds is good. I've had some other like more sour type beers,
yeah,
and those have always really impressed me.
That's one of the other things you can get there. Like you actually take to go is the sours.
Yeah.
They're like wilds.
Yeah.
And then one or two of their lagers that are like a more traditional pour style.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one.
Yeah.
So yeah.
What else? What's the other one you brought back? You brought back a lager, right?
I brought back I want to say a German lager.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called.
Sure. I see you brought back two.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. 3 words for me.
I'm going to say citrusy. Dry and hoppy.
I'm going to say citrus, herbal. Yeah, I'm going to say hoppy too. I had to think about that for a minute. So starting May 3rd is Illinois Craft Beer Week, which you and I are going to try to go out to as many events as we can over the course of that week. Barring our day jobs.
Yes. It's been a while. I don't think we did any last... Not that I can remember. I think I was out of town.
You were out of town for part of it last year. We did attend the Bitter Pops.
Yes, we did.
Newbies and Freshies event, which I really hope they do again. That was a lot of fun. But the Craft Beer Week kicks off with Beer Under Glass, which this will be your first time attending. My fifth time attending, which sounds insane to say. Which is put on as a fundraiser for the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild, which is actually a nonprofit supporting and advocating for the nearly 300 craft breweries in the state of Illinois.
Okay.
That's a lot of breweries. And honestly, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like an early kickoff to summer. So Beer Under Glass is at Union Station in the West Loop, and I think just over 100 breweries will be pouring beers that day. So it's a really fun event. Really excited that you're going to get to experience it for the first time.
Yep.
It's a lot of socializing with our friends that work in the beer industry. So it's kind of like everyone shows up to hang out and have a good time and reconnect with everyone they know.
Yep.
It's a very social event. People will chat with you. I've made friends, you know, hanging out at the beer fest. So it should be, I don't know, it should be a really good time. We will have in our bio a link where you can find out more information about the Craft Brewers Guild and Beer Under Glass. And we'll get kicking off and we'll start talking on our social media pages pretty soon about the other events coming up.
Yep. Cool.
Okay. So let's get into the episode.
This is going to be mostly a Stephanie episode because I don't know much about this.
Well, you have some preparation that you can pull up and look at. We're actually going to talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the induction ceremonies today. So the 2024 inductees are going to be announced the Sunday, the night before this episode comes out. Yep. Unfortunately, we don't know them yet, but we're going to talk about what we think is going to happen and just kind of some history of the museum and the foundation and all of that fun stuff. So I've actually been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You've been to Cleveland?
I have been to Cleveland. I am from Detroit. I have been to Cleveland.
Detroit.
Sure. Was that my stomach or your stomach?
I think that was my stomach for once.
I heard that and I was like,
I think you would have felt it if it was yours.
I don't know. Sometimes.
You don't feel when your tummy's a little
No, rumbly? my stomach makes weird noises and I don't know what's happening.
Okay.
Okay, so Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is in Cleveland, Ohio, and essentially that's a space to...
You know what else is in Cleveland? Nothing else.
There's sports teams. I don't know which Nothing ones. Else. I don't know which ones, but they're there.
Nothing else.
They have sports teams. I don't know. So this museum is documenting the history of rock music. So artists, producers, engineers, notable figures and personnel that influenced the genre and its development over the years.
Okay.
It started off as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Foundation. It was established on 420, 1983 by, the founder and chairman of Atlantic Records at the time. His name was Ahmed, Ertegun. Ertegun. God, I can't say people's names. The museum actually is a giant pyramid. It was designed by Yoming Pei, and he also did the Grand Louvre and the Louvre Pyramid.
Okay.
So he's like a big architect.
He's a big pyramid guy?
Big architect guy.
Big pyramid guy.
He did other buildings too, but...
Just a big pyramid guy.
Two pyramids. It's more than one.
It's weird that it happened twice.
It's more than Nick Cage has.
It's weird that it happened twice.
The museum was dedicated on September 1st of 1995.
Illuminati.
Are you saying that because of the pyramid?
Yeah.
I was like, what are you saying? So the foundation originally consisted of Jan Wenner from Rolling Stone magazine, Record executive Seymour Stein, Bob Krasnow, Noreen Woods, and attorneys Alan Grubman and Suzanne Evans. The first ever induction happened in 1986, obviously almost 10 years before there was a physical location. They looked at building in Philadelphia, Memphis, Detroit, Cincinnati, New York City, and then eventually landed on Cleveland because Cleveland pledged $65 million to fund the construction. And they cited that local DJ Alan Freed is the first person to ever coin the term rock and roll, and he heavily promoted the genre in the 1950s. Also, what's considered to be the first ever rock and roll concert, it was also called the Moondog Coronation Bowl, that took place in 1952, also took place in Cleveland. Alan Freed actually was one of the first inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well. In 1986, before, you know, when they first did the first, this first induction, before there was ever a museum, USA Today ran a poll asking where they should put the museum, and the readers voted Cleveland.
Okay.
Which I thought was really interesting. I would have thought it would have gone somewhere like
New York or
Detroit.
Yeah.
Although Detroit has Motown, the Motown Museum, so that's a little different.
Yeah.
So the building itself, the ribbon was cut on September 1st, 1995 by Yoko Ono and Little Richard. The weirdest combination of people you could have imagined.
That is a weird
combo. They held a concert with performers Chuck Berry, Bob Dylan, Al Green, Jerry Lee Lewis, Aretha Franklin, Bruce Springsteen, Iggy Pop, John Fogerty, and John Mellencamp.
Also, weird combination.
Yeah, a lot of people. This beer is really good. The space has a list of every single inductee, and the actual museum basically explains the history of rock and roll, the important people who were having, you know, influences on it, even if they are not in, they are not an inductee. Some of those people are in the museum.
Yeah.
The induction ceremonies have taken place between New York City, Cleveland, and a couple times they've done it in LA. Right now it's rotating back and forth between New York and Cleveland. In 2024, they will have this actual ceremony in October, and it'll be in New York City. The building itself has exhibits on the history of rock. So think gospel, blues, R&B, folk, country, bluegrass. There's exhibits on cities with major impacts to rock and roll. They specifically have Memphis, Detroit, London, Liverpool, San Francisco, LA, New York City, and Seattle. There's exhibits on soul music, the origins of rock in the 1950s. Sun Records has an exhibit, which that's the record label to first sign Elvis Presley. There's exhibits on hip hop, Cleveland's legacy on rock, just Midwestern music. Historic DJs and protests against rock music. So there's also individual...
The Christians.
Well,
what about ska?
If you don't call the episode, but what about ska, I'm going to be so upset with you.
I don't have a whole lot to add to this episode, so that's all you're getting from me.
They have individual artists exhibits in there as well. So Beatles, Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix...
I'm just thinking about naming the episode, but what about Scott? That's so funny.
When I was there, I vividly remember a Talking Heads exhibit as well. Should we look up if there's been a ska exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Honestly, yeah. I was trying to say it in the vibe of, but what about NASCAR?
What the fuck is that from?
From Vine.
I don't know that one. Now we need to pull up that Vine.
You don't remember that Vine? What about NASCAR?
Okay, so they have an exhibit about punk and new wave, but not specifically about ska.
But what about ska?
I found a Reddit thread that says, hard to believe there are not any ska bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Just wait until No Doubt gets in.
I'm sure that'll happen. Not a ska band.
Tell that to Wikipedia.
Tell that to Gwen Stefani.
Anyway, sorry for that.
So I was saying, when I was a kid and we went, they had a big Talking Heads exhibit and they had the big Stop Making Sense suit.
The big suit?
The big suit.
Normal head, big suit.
Tiny head, big suit. Normal body, big suit.
I think it's like tiny head, big suit, and then normal head. Big head, normal suit.
They also have like rotating exhibits. So it's like a 7-story museum, basically. The top 2 floors are always rotating exhibits. They've done stuff about The Clash, The Supremes, U2, John Lennon, Women of Rock. And when I went, they had a country exhibit and they had Dolly Parton's clothes in it.
Love that.
It was honestly incredible.
How big was the
big,
top?
Big. The ass, also big.
What a woman.
So for a couple of years, they also had an annex in New York City. So just about 2 years, 2008 to 2010. It was in Soho, and it was a similar type of museum. So they moved, like, Prince's Purple Raincoat and the Talking Heads.
It was a raincoat?
Purple rain.
Space.
Space coat.
It was just the way you said it. I had to. He's a purple raincoat.
Purple rain coat. How else am I supposed to say
like
it?
Like I said, guys, this is all I'm doing this episode.
And Stop Making Sense suit lived there for a while. It was more themed specifically around New York City. So references to the music venues there. They had the CBGB phone booth, all that shit. And then that closed in 2010 during the one of the biggest financial collapses in the U.S. history. Yes. And then obviously everything moved back to Cleveland. So a bit about like the inductee process. So every year it ranges somewhere between 6 and 12 artists, individuals at, you know, bands, whatever. Most of the living inductees have attended the ceremonies over the years, and they are presented with an award by an artist who has been influenced by the inductee's music.
Okay.
Typically, both of them will perform. Obviously, some people, I have some stuff about people that have bowed out.
Pink, like, presented Dolly Parton.
Something like that. I have a list of who presented who.
Okay, cool.
The first ever group was inducted January 23rd of 1986. It consisted of Elvis, James Brown, Little Richard, Fats Domino, Ray Charles, Chuck Berry, Sam Cooke, the Everly Brothers, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, Robert Johnson, Jimmy Rogers, Jimmy Yancey, and then John Hammond got a Lifetime Achievement Award. And then Alan Freed and Sam Phillips, who was the founder of Sun Records, were inducted as non-performers. There's a couple of different types of awards that you can get in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So there's performers, obviously. So a nominating committee comprised of musicians and historians decide the names. So singers, vocal groups, bands, instrumentalists, all of that shit. They're voted on by about 500 experts across the world. And then artists become eligible 25 years after the release of their first full-length record. Criteria is like the influence and significance of the artists to the and their contributions to development. And I don't know what that word is. I don't even know what the fuck I wrote. This is their contributions to the rock and roll musician. They do block approval voting, which is like unlimited. You have unlimited votes. You just vote for whoever you want to vote for. And if everyone has to get 50% votes to be able to get into the museum as an inductee. So that's the performers. Then they have early influences, which is just kind of like, it's not so much of a thing anymore. Most of those people have already been inducted. That's like your folk, your country, your jazz, your blues singers. Yep. There's the Lifetime Achievement Award, which was formerly the Non-Performers Award. So it's people behind the scenes in the industry.
Like producers.
Producers, executives, DJs, promoters, music journalists. And then there's just the Music Excellence Award, which is session and concert players. So they also can get in there as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's a lot of words about the museum and kind of how it works.
Yes.
So, this year's, I think, kind of a, you know, it's...
An interesting group of people.
Yeah, so it's crazy to me, and I have some stuff about people that have been snubbed as well. Like, I think that's always a fun conversation to have. This year's nominee class is Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Eric B. and Ratkim. I don't know who that
Rakim?
Is.
I don't know.
Foreigner,
Peter Frampton, Jane's Addiction,
Cool in the Gang, Lenny Kravitz. Have you seen that video of him?
Yes.
In leather at the
lifting,
gym?
Lifting? Like bench? Yeah.
Why, he doesn't need to do all that. Sinead O'Connor, Ozzy Osbourne, Sade, and Tribe Quest.
I just, when I say it's interesting, I think it's interesting because I know that they've been expanding into not just, like, rock artists.
Also some of its contributions that have been
that are people
rock.
That are, like, influence other rock artists. I just think it's interesting because, like, the majority of this list
I would argue, I mean, I don't know two of these artists, or three maybe, but not rock artists.
Fair. So I have my list. Hold on.
But that kind of leads me into a point I wanted to make. So this is probably the only time I'll have a point.
Wow.
So mentioning that there's a lot of artists that aren't necessarily rock, but have influenced rock music in here. Dolly Parton was an inductee in 2022, and she had talked about how she was super honored, but she didn't believe that she should be inducted if she didn't have a rock album, which led to her
creating a rock album
called Rockstar, because she was like, for me to be in this, I feel like I got to do a rock album, yeah. Which was, I love that for her. I like love that about her, that she was like, I know that I've influenced rock music, but I want to do this.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking for something very specific. It's interesting on this article, they have a list of everyone that's been inducted and who the presenter was.
Okay.
Which I think is like crazy. And there's like a billion people in here.
Well, that makes sense. Let's just go back like maybe 10 years at the most.
That's too many people. We're not going to go back
like 4 years since the 2020s.
I'm just trying to find, there's a specific one I was looking for. Oh, I scrolled too far. That's why I can't find it. Like Pharrell, just like interesting ones. Pharrell presented to Kraftwerk in 2021. Diana Ross presented Billie Holiday in 2000. It's kind of crazy to think of like the different people that have been a part of this.
Yeah.
I'm looking for, there's one specific one that I'm looking for. Dave Matthews presented Willie Nelson. Lenny Kravitz presented Lionel Richie. You Were Right. Pink presented Dolly Parton. Dr. Dre presented for Eminem. Robert Downey Jr. presented for Duran Duran. That's a weird one. Taylor Swift presented for Carole King. There's Iggy Pop presented for Nine Inch Nails.
That makes sense. That's pretty sick.
Alicia Keys presented for Whitney Houston. Charlize Theron presented for Depeche Mode. David Byrne presented for Radiohead. Janelle Monáe.
The David Byrne is inspired by the Radiohead, by the Thom.
The Thom. Trent Reznor presented for The Cure. Brandon Flowers presented for The Cars. Snoop Dogg presented for Tupac. It's interesting to see, like, I don't know, I just find it really interesting. I'm still looking for the one specific one that I can't fucking find. St. Vincent inducted Kate Bush. That was last year, actually, so that's recent.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Kate Bush, icon. Can't believe last year she finally got in. Where's the other one? So some of the worst snubs, I think, is always interesting to talk about who's not in there. Yep. And there's this article from Vulture talks about why.
Wait, I have a question. Is Blur in there?
And I don't know.
Oasis isn't? Because that would be funny.
I don't know.
I feel like not. No. But they're just, like, now eligible.
Probably, yeah.
Like, the 90s. 94, I think, is...
That's 30 years.
Is it 20?
25.
Okay.
So, the B-52s, not in there. They
really?
Were eligible as of 2004. Obviously, the B-52s are fucking incredible. Vulture's reasoning as to why they're, like, what's the holdup is that
they think Rock Lobster is not a good enough song. Lies.
They're only known for four of their songs.
Okay.
Pixies, not in
what?
There. They were eligible as of 2013.
That one's really surprising to me because I think the Pixies are very influential.
So they're saying that it actually took the Stooges 8 ballots and 15 years before they finally got in. So despite them being massively popular despite them being extremely influential because they're not massively popular, that's why they think it's the delay in them getting in there.
MC5 has been on 6 ballots since 1992, and they still are not in there. And okay. They're one of the most influential punk bands in rock and roll history. Outkast, not in there. Eligible as of 2019. They're saying that the way that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame goes about inducting hip-hop artists is kind of sporadic and all over the place. So that's why Outkast is not yet in there. Smashing Pumpkins, not in there. They became eligible in 2015. They say it's because people don't like Billy Corgan.
People are right. As much as I love the Pumpkins, people are correct in this.
INXS, not in there. They're eligible in 2006. This is another one. They're just slow to induct people from the 1980s. Those were the biggest snubs that were listed up here. And clearly, Blur.
Yes. If Oasis is on here, then Blur should be on here, too.
I feel like Oasis...
Blur could have written Wonderwall. Oasis couldn't write Song 2.
Oasis also could not write Girls and Boys.
True.
Thinking of Blur, they said they will never play Coachella again because the crowd was so boring.
They're playing it again next week.
After this year, and they said they'll never come back. And someone on TikTok was like, Damon, you said the same thing when you played in 2013. Why do you keep coming back and thinking it's going to be different? This is a you problem, man.
Not wrong.
So I was actually also doing some digging into who is going to be eligible next year, just because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's interesting.
2000, I found it interesting to be like, who is eligible? Three Doors Down.
Love that.
Andrew WK.
Amazing. He should be in it. Wait, do you think... Do you think Dave Grohl will present... Do you think...
What if Dave Grohl presents
Andrew WK and confirmed they're the same person, or confirmed they're not the same person in that moment?
So is Dave Grohl married to two people then?
Yes. Polyamorous. Polygamy is not legal, but he has two personalities and two personas.
Disturbed, Dashboard Confessional, Good Charlotte.
None of those emo bands are going to make it. Well, no. Maybe they could.
Interpol, they influenced
a whole another wave of emo.
Linkin Park, Michelle Branch, Nelly Furtado, OK Go, Pink will be eligible, Regina Spektor, Sean Paul. Taking Back Sunday, Thrice, Sufjan Stevens, Something Corporate, you know, so.
That'll be interesting.
One of the interesting things that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame does, and it started in 2012, they now have a fan vote.
Yep.
And the online poll debuted in 2012, and the number one vote getter has always been inducted, all except for one time, and it was the Dave Matthews Band in 2020, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame people don't like the Dave Matthews Band.
Which is funny, because Dave Matthews Band also has just gotten the most amount of votes
ever
through that ballot.
So do you think they're going to get...
I think it would be funny if they didn't.
Yeah, second time, they're just like, no.
Fine. Honestly, for the bit, I hope they don't.
Yeah, all but 6 artists that have made the fan ballot are now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Those being DMB, Soundgarden, Cyndi Lauper, Warren Zevon, and Iron Maiden, and Fela Kuti. So they will hopefully announce that the Dave Matthews Band is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't know why that is so funny to me, but it is. I think it's so funny.
It would be, I love a good bit.
That's when you take it real far.
Yes. And I love a bit that you take too far.
I also find it kind of interesting. There's some artists that are very anti-Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I mean, the Sex Pistols very famously have said that, you know, they've said, we're not your dancing monkeys. Like,
yeah.
There's the idea.
Oasis is like anti-Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They've been like, Noel, husband, it Leo? I don't know.
Which I don't know. One of them. Both of them.
If they get inducted, do you think they would both show up?
No.
I think none of them will show up.
A lot of the problem is that, obviously, it's a record label kind of centered thing.
which eliminates a lot of
independent artists. Yeah.
And a lot of these artists got their started as independent artists. So for them to now be admitting that they're a part of the machine.
Yes.
Even though they'll take the money from the machine.
Yes.
But they don't want to admit that they're a part of the machine.
Yes.
That's why Johnny Rotten is full of shit.
I mean, I'm done. I don't have anything else. That's my two lines.
I was going to say, that was your two lines.
Those are my two lines. Well, the two links are the same line because I posted the same one twice.
This is also fun. So one of the things that they do is they have what they call the definitive list of albums. It sits in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and they've updated it maybe once or twice in the last couple of years, but they list like the top
influential
200 albums that they've considered to be the most influential of all time.
Okay, what's number one?
I want you to guess.
Oh God,
it's gonna be very obvious.
Is it the Beatles?
Yes.
Is it the White Album?
No.
Or is it Sgt. Pepper's?
It's Sgt. Pepper's. Yeah. I told you it was easy.
I mean, that's what I was gonna guess is the number one.
Number one is Sgt. Pepper's. Number two is Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
Three is Thriller. Four is Number Four by Led Zeppelin. Five is Joshua Tree by U2. Six is...
I'm sorry, U2 is that high?
The record label people really like U2.
Yeah.
They really like U2. Six is Exile on Main by the Rolling Stones. Seven is Tapestry by Carole King. Eight is Highway 61 Revisited by Bob Dylan. Nine is Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys. And 10 is Nevermind by Nirvana.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's about what I would expect.
What's when you get a bunch of old white people in a room and it's a lot of that?
A bunch of old white people talking about the glory days.
Just kind of like scrolling up a little bit of like other ones that I think are worth mentioning. Shania Twain, Come On Over is number 21.
Yes.
Rumors by Fleetwood Mac is 24. Jagged Little Pill is 26. Speakerbox, Love Below is number 29. Outkast is not in it.
Yeah.
Which is fucked. Dixie Chicks. Well, the Chicks. Still says on this list because in the time it came out. Wide Open Spaces, the Grease soundtrack is on here.
Interesting.
Saturday Night Fever is on here. I had to listen to my coworker. We did first aid training this week. I had to hear Stayin' Alive so many fucking
times. It's not even fast enough.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Yeah. They even reference it in all the training videos. It is the perfect speed. Self-titled Whitney Houston is number 46.
You know what else is the perfect speed? The Sound by the 1975, I think.
Also, Riverdance by Beyonce off of Cowboy Carter. Dookie by Green Day is on here. Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is number 55. Pieces of You by Jewel is 64. Great album.
That is a great album.
No Jacket Required, Phil Collins, 74.
Fuck me up, Phil Collins.
Breathe by Faith Hill, 76. Great album. Let's Get It On, Marvin Gaye is 81.
I'm surprised Marvin Gaye is not higher.
Blood Sugar Sex Magic by the Chili Peppers is 88. 92 is Californication, also by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The album about California.
Human Clay by Creed is 95.
Is Creed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I don't know, look it up. They are eligible. There's no way Creed is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There's another album by the Chicks on here. Falling Into You by Celine Dion is 97. Crazy Sexy Cool by...
They only became eligible last year.
Oh, their first record came out in 97?
Damn. I guess.
OK Computer is number 111. There's a lot of the Chicks on here. Good for them. The world was not ready for them. They're incredible. Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt is 120. What's the Story Morning Glory is 124. Christina Aguilera self-titled is 127.
The album slaps.
The Oh Brother Where Art Thou soundtrack
is
130.
So good. That's why I fucking love that
Surfacing by Sarah McLachlan is on here.
Man of Constant Sorrow, that song is a bop.
Melancholy in the Infinite Sadness is on here. It's 149.
Wait, is Siamese Dream not?
No.
Siamese Dream is a better album than
Faith by George Michael, 158. Great album. Let Go by Avril Lavigne is 162.
That one is a little questionable. Like,
is Avril Lavigne higher than Madonna? What, like a Virgin by Madonna is 164.
Oh my god.
What?
Melissa.
I think I'm having a moment. I'm really confused. White Blood Cells by the White Stripes is 178.
Avril Lavigne is higher than the White Stripes?
I don't know who made this list. The albums that appear, or the artists that appear the most in the ranking overall are the Beatles and Led Zeppelin. Yeah. Jesus Christ. The Chili Peppers are on here twice. Outkast is on here twice.
The Chicks are on there twice?
The Chicks is on there three times.
Oh.
They're the only women's group to be on there three times.
Love that.
Yeah. Good for them. Did you know there's only three women that have been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice?
You can get inducted more than once?
Solo. If you're in multiple groups, okay. You can be inducted twice. Carole King was nominated as a non-performer and for her solo work. Stevie Nicks, obviously, for her solo work and Fleetwood Mac, and Tina Turner for Ike and Tina and her solo stuff. Yep.
That was something that makes sense too.
Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how that works. Who do we think is going to get in this year? Just say you're six.
Six?
Yeah.
A Tribe Called Quest. I'd like to see Lenny Kravitz. I'd like to see Cher. That's three.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Mary J. Blige, Mariah Carey, and honestly, I kind of want to see Ozzy.
I'm going to say Mariah, Cher, Jane's Addiction, Oasis, Sinead O'Connor, and Tribe Called Quest.
I kind of don't want Oasis to, just because I think it'd be funny. Yeah.
For the bit?
For the bit.
All right. So,
yeah, I think that covers it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
I'm going to forget what I said, too, so.
That's fine.
We'll see how right we were.
We'll see if we remember come Sunday night. All right. So, with that, please go on your favorite podcast streaming service and give us a 5-star rating and maybe a written review. If you listen through the song, you can hear all of our social media plugs and see what we're up to, and you can get in contact with us there. And we will see you next time.
You can follow along with all of our drunken shenanigans on Instagram at Drunken Uncultured.
You can also contact us via email at drunkenuncultured@gmail.com.
You can find me, Lindsay, on Instagram at LindsaySoldOut.
And you can find me, Stephanie, on Instagram at _StephanColor.